Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We have the most comprehensive takedown of the Biden criminal conspiracy. Also, we dive deep into Amy Coney Barrett on the U.S. Supreme Court, reason for celebration and what that means for the election and how Democrats are approaching it, that and so much more. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support is your place to help support our program to reach millions of young people. charliekirk.com/support. You can always email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Got an action-packed episode in store, everybody. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show, charliekirk.com. You can always email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. There is so much happening in the news, but I just want to start today by celebrating. We are a week out from the most important election since 1860. People are voting. Over 7 million people have voted in Texas. It's unbelievable. Republicans seem to be doing very well in early voting in Florida, doing very well in North Carolina. Behind the game a little bit in Arizona. So if you're in Arizona listening, make sure you have turned in your ballot or voted early. There's so much happening, but I think it's time that we just take pause and celebrate something. Let's celebrate today that Amy Coney Barrett is a Supreme Court justice. Amy Coney Barrett is one of the most qualified, one of the most incredible nominees ever put forward to the United States Supreme Court. The United States Senate, going through their constitutional duties of advise and consent, confirmed Amy Coney Barrett last evening. The Democrats reacted in typical fashion, comparing Amy Coney Barrett's nomination and confirmation to one of the darkest days in the history of the United States Senate. That's Chuck Schumer. And before we get into all of their reaction and all of the baseless accusations that they have been throwing at Amy Coney Barrett and the threats that they have been making, 9 years ago, no one would have thought that the U.S. Supreme Court would be the Thomas Court. For all intents and purposes, this is no longer John Roberts' court. John Roberts is a metropolitan liberal. He is a, at best, Rockefeller Republican who goes the way the ruling class tells him to go, appointed by George W. Bush. He believes that church is not essential. He believes that deadlines for ballots in Pennsylvania are irrelevant. John Roberts upheld Obamacare. John Roberts, who was supposed to be a constitutional conservative, has really turned his back on all of us that love the Constitution and love our country. And then a billionaire from New York came down the escalator and exposed the fraud that is the American political system. That both parties for 40 years have been saying one thing and doing another, declaring endless misadventures overseas, keeping us in these perpetual conflicts, negotiating bad trade deals, keeping our borders wide open. And President Trump, albeit an unconventional candidate, an unconventional vessel, came onto the scene and he made a list. He made a list of Supreme Court nominees that he would put on the Supreme Court if vacancies would arise. And of course, Scalia's seat was open by the time he became president, filled it with Gorsuch. Anthony Kennedy stepped down in the summer of 2018, filled it with Kavanaugh. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg unexpectedly died about a month ago. And now that seat is filled with Amy Coney Barrett. Three justices in one term. Only Ronald Reagan can compete with that. Poor Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter got zero justices. And President Trump got three justices. The U.S. Supreme Court should not be politicized. The U.S. Supreme Court should not be controversial. The U.S. Supreme Court should be the most sober, the most deliberate, the most agreeable branch of government. It is the Democrats and the left that originally politicized the third article of the United States Constitution. The Warren Court, the Burger Court, FDR trying to do court packing. We are only restoring normalcy thanks to President Trump. We are now only bringing back the U.S. Supreme Court to its original textualist roots. And Amy Coney Barrett, with no notes in front of her, answered every question correcting senators on court cases. And the U.S. Senate did exactly what they were elected to do, confirmed Amy Coney Barrett last evening. And so Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate minority leader, he said, quote, this will go down as one of the darkest days of the 231 year history of the U.S. Senate. Let's play cut one, Chuck Schumer.
Today, Monday, October 26, 2020, will go down as one of the darkest days in the 231-year history of the United States Senate.
I would venture a guess that there's probably a couple hundred darker days in the history of the U.S. Senate. I can see why Chuck Schumer and why the activist media love Greta Thunberg so much, because they're all apocalyptic. It's the worst we've ever seen. The world is going to end unless you give us power. It's never been this bad. It is an existential threat to our country. And sadly, people still believe it when they say this. There is a community of voters out there that actually do believe that unless we give Democrats power, we are going to exterminate our population. We are going to enter a fascist civil war. And this is truly one of the darkest days in the history of the U.S. Senate. Chuck Schumer, you ever hear of the caning of Charles Sumner? You ever hear this story? Charles Sumner was literally beat, used a walking cane to attack Senator Charles Sumner, who was an abolitionist from Massachusetts. In retaliation for a speech given by Sumner 2 days earlier in which he fiercely criticized slaveholders, including a relative of the caner, Representative Preston Brooks. So you think this is one of the darkest days in the U.S. Senate? I want you to imagine someone giving a speech on the U.S. Senate and coming over and whacking them over the head with a cane. It's probably a darker day for the U.S. Senate than Amy Coney Barrett, mother of seven, graduated number one in her law class and is able to go through a confirmation fight with no notes to fill a vacant seat. Probably not as dark as declaring war on Nazi Germany, fascist Italy, and Imperial Japan. Probably not as dark as when we entered into a bloody civil war. Probably not as dark as when your party, Chuck Schumer, opposed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. Probably not as dark as when your party filibustered the Civil Rights Act. Probably not as dark as when your party opposed women's suffrage or the woman's right to vote. No, I actually think this is a word that you would usually use. This looks like progress. This looks like a mother of seven who is independent, who is a loving wife, who is a phenomenal instructor, getting to the highest levels of our government. Instead of praising Amy Coney Barrett for being the ultimate feminist that they're supposed to love, which is a working mother, mother of seven, incredibly faithful to her husband, loves the Lord, all the things that they say to young women that you're supposed to believe in as a feminist. They believe that Amy Coney Barrett is not worthy of any sort of praise because she's not a leftist. They believe that Amy Coney Barrett and her confirmation is one of the darkest days of the U.S. Senate, darker than Charles Sumner getting beat over the head, darker than declaring wars, darker than preventing blacks the right to citizenship or vote. Instead, filling a vacant seat is one of the darkest days in the 231-year history of the U.S. Senate. I want to tell you guys about Good Ranchers. It's amazing. Connor here, Charlie Kirk Show. He is raving about Good Ranchers. He says the marbled meats, the texture, the flavor, the depth, the juiciness. He has not stopped talking about Good Ranchers meat. We've been talking about it. We said, okay, give us some of that Good Ranchers meat. Boom! 10 out of 10. That's right. He's smiling. It's true. Go to goodranchers.com right now. And they began with the standard of bringing top quality meat. That's what they're all about. T-bones, fillets, chicken, you name it. If you're responsible for dinner, it's goodranchers.com. Tell them our show sent you. Even better, if you need a T-bone right now, goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. Goodranchers.com, American meat the way it should be. Good Ranchers is the place to be. But guess what? You don't have to go anywhere because they deliver to your door. So it's goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. Goodranchers.com, get the meat you need. Juicy, sizzle it, mouth-watering, titillating, awesome meat. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. Amy Coney Barrett is on the U.S. Supreme Court. That is cause for celebration. I'm wearing my Justice League t-shirt right here on the Charlie Kirk Show. In fact, we will give away 10 copies of this shirt. All you have to do is show that you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show. You just have to go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and email it to us at freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to give out 10 beautiful Justice League shirts. You got Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Gorsuch. So Chuck Schumer called this one of the darkest days in the 231-year history of the U.S. Senate. I'm just glad he wasn't Senate Minority Leader when we declared war against Imperial Japan, Fascist Italy, and Fascist Germany. The over kind of indulgence in this hyperbole is exhausting and it's damaging. It's exhausting because you know he doesn't actually believe this, okay? You know that Chuck Schumer, he's not that, dumb. I was going to try to find the better word than that. He's not that dumb, okay? He's obviously got enough mental capacity to organize some form of a political organization and rally votes. So he knows this is not true. He knows it's not one of the darkest days in the 231-year history in his New York accent. But he says it anyway, because for the left to continue their election argument, this must be the worst time ever in the history of the planet, and just give us power and we'll solve it. It is a form of long, it is almost a long hostage situation where they say the only thing that can give you a release from this is if you vote for us. Remember Chuck Schumer at a Center for Reproductive Rights rally, he said that Kavanaugh and Gorsuch will, quote, pay the price and not know what hit you. Let's play cut two.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Release the whirlwind. That is, that's new. I haven't heard that one yet, to be honest. And so, look, that was back when he was fighting Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And the left has gone through a sequence of baseless threats to try and prevent Mitch McConnell and President Trump from filling these seats through their constitutional obligation. And this is cause for celebration. Because win or lose in 7 days from now, Amy Coney Barrett will still be on the United States Supreme Court. Now, if Joe Biden wins the White House and with it the U.S. Senate, they are going to try and proceed to pack the court. That's why they didn't put up the fight against Amy Coney Barrett. Also, the Democrats were a little bit more strategic than I thought they would be. the Democrats realize that their current flow of capital and activists and energy should be properly deployed to states like Georgia or Iowa or Arizona or North Carolina. In some ways, I think Mitch McConnell was actually trying to bait the Democrats to focus a lot of their energy in the streets of Washington, D.C., not in the streets of Phoenix or in Raleigh or in Charlotte. The Democrats were more disciplined than I thought they would be. The Democrats knew they didn't have the votes. The Democrats put up some sort of fake Sheldon White House conspiracy chalkboard thing. The Democrats probably raised plenty of money online and digitally through people that were previously profiled through data analytics that care about abortion and care about Planned Parenthood and care about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and all those sorts of issues that motivate the most radical wing of the Democrat Party. The Democrats probably got a boost in donations and a surge in support. And instead of deploying it in the streets of D.C., chasing senators from their cars, filling their offices, flooding the elevators, the Democrats, I think, actually made a much better strategic decision. I'm not one to compliment Democrats. I would have loved to see them do a 200,000-person march in D.C. and go throughout the U.S. Senate and flood the airways to try to attack Amy Coney Barrett. But there's someone calling the shots for the Democrats, at least in this specific story here, that had a lot more restraints and a lot more strategy than what they employed against Brett Kavanaugh. A lot more. Because with this fight, they kind of put up a show fight. They raised a bunch of money. And now Republicans are being severely outspent in the battleground states for the Senate. And so I think McConnell was actually trying to bait Schumer into a legit Supreme Court melee to expose their radicalism and show the country who they are. In our fast-paced world, it's time to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. A new app called Thinker, you guys have heard me talk about it, thinker.org/Charlie, T-H-I-N-K-R, has solved that problem by summarizing the key ideas from new and noteworthy fiction, giving you access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, including old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you want to challenge your preconceptions, expand your horizons, and what? Become a better thinker, go to thinker.org/Charlie. That's thinkr.org/Charlie to start an extended free trial and put your mind in motion. Schumer on the United States Senate engages in Orwellian gaslighting and doublespeak. So let me tell you what doublespeak is. Doublespeak comes from George Orwell's book, 1984. Where he says there's something that will come that it will be worse than lying. For example, if I go up to somebody who's eating a bunch of cookies and I ask them, how many cookies did you eat? And they say, well, I ate three. When they really ate five, that's a lie. If I then go up to the person who's eating the cookies and I ask them, I say, how many cookies did you eat? And they say, I didn't eat any cookies, as they have crumbs on their face and still cookies in front of them, they say, you did. That's called doublespeak or doublethink. The terms can be used interchangeably. This is Chuck Schumer on the floor of the United States Senate, cut four, engaging in doublespeak. He said, generations of unborn will suffer. Cut four.
Generations yet unborn will suffer the consequences of this nomination. As reactionary state legislatures curtail a woman's right to choose, gerrymander districts, and limit the rights of minorities to vote, my deepest, greatest, and most abiding sadness tonight is for the American people and what this nomination will mean for their lives, their freedoms, their fundamental rights.
Generations of unborn will suffer. Again, this is so it's not a lie. Like, if it was just a lie, for example, if Chuck Schumer came up and he said, you know, 45 million people will be kicked off their health insurance. That's just a lie. Okay, we can debunk it. Generations of unborn will suffer. This is not just untrue. It is the opposite of the truth. And isn't it interesting that Chuck Schumer goes out of his way to mention unborn children in his speech around a nominee who will hopefully repeal Roe versus Wade to save unborn children. This takes a level of pathological possession that I cannot reach that level. It is so deceitful. It is so dark. We have 1 million abortions every single year, Senator Chuck Schumer. That's 1 million unborn children. Those are generations of unborn. They've already suffered, most of which are, many of whom I should say, are disproportionately black, and half of which, just based on the law of averages, are women. So generations of unborn are already suffering. What if I told you, Chuck Schumer, that thanks to Amy Coney Barrett, the woman that you're opposing, that you are engaging in Greta Thunberg-style apocalyptic conjectures, that generations of unborn will not suffer, but they will live? And so Schumer's argument is that if people do not have the capacity to terminate their children, then generations of unborn will suffer. If this is making you confused, it should. There is no logic, there is no reason whatsoever behind what Chuck Schumer is saying. Instead, he is using the pro-life movement's narrative to try and win sympathy so we can have more abortions in our country. Senator Schumer on the floor saying generations of unborn will suffer. It takes a commitment to deceit to say something like that, that is so beyond the realm of where we are in a civil society. And I've said this for the last couple weeks, but I want to build this out. And I am not an alarmist and I am not a fatalist. I want to be very clear. I do not think America's decline is inevitable. I do not think that Western society will necessarily go the way of the second law of thermodynamics, which is the inevitable law of decay. I don't think that. I think that things can be continuously built, preserved, protected, perfected, built into. However, decent and civil society cannot continue at its current trajectory when our leaders, it's not that they don't tell us the truth. We know they don't do that. It's not that they lie to us. We know they do that. It's that they take the mere opposite of what is actually happening and with a complete and total unwavering commitment to the deceit, they double and triple down to it. For example, Hunter Biden's laptop, Russian disinformation. We knew that was false then. We know that it is the opposite of the truth now. Donald Trump is a Russian agent. We know that wasn't true then. We know it's the opposite, that Hillary Clinton is actually a Russian agent. This is a psychological exercise called projection. Just accuse the other side of what you are actually doing. And this should expose the moral fraud that is the Democrats and the American left. It should. But it's actually a lot more troubling than that. Despite this being so flagrantly the opposite of the truth, the civilization can't continue, everybody, if this stuff continues. Again, if Chuck Schumer came up and he said, a lot of people are not going to be able to get abortions. Okay, I agree with that. You think that's wrong. I think that's good. Instead, his moral framework that he's trying to establish is that unborn children will suffer. Eventually, what will happen, and you're already starting to see it happen, is that decent people will reject everything they are being told by their leaders. Is that decent people will refuse to entertain any narrative that is coming from the activist media. And that's already starting to happen. And now, while I think that skepticism in some way is healthy, if you play that out, eventually there will be a moment when we need people to agree on something, such as that the Chinese Communist Party implemented this virus in the Western world, and even that is now not allowed to be spoken about. Andrew Cuomo calls it the European virus. Andrew Cuomo, while he stuffed old people into nursing homes, comes out with a book trying to make money off the pandemic. And they say Trump is the immoral one. Andrew Cuomo is the one that is trying to profit off of the pandemic, while he has one of the worst track records of any leader when it came to the Chinese coronavirus. If we do not win a week from today, all of this deceit, all of this treachery, all of this arrogance will blend itself together and be platformed with universal power. And that's horrifying. So these people that say things that they know are not even true, and that's what's actually the most sick part of this, is Schumer knows it's not true. Schumer knows that Amy Coney Barrett's actually good for unborn children. But he says it as a political boomerang trick to try to get people to support what he says or to give him more power. So the country at its current form, with you have one side that says things that are so not just untrue, but they must penalize the other side at all costs. Eventually, there will be a collision point, everybody. And I pray that that collision point is next week, peacefully. I pray that the pressure release valve for all of this pent-up anger, all of this pent-up nonsense, I pray that our pressure release valve will result in the current president getting 4 more years and all of this deliberate deceit that they have been pushing will be rejected and repudiated by reasonable and decent people. And if not, you're not going to see the disgust go away. You're not going to see reasonable people be satisfied. And so Chuck Schumer then supported and gave cover to many other Democrat senators to engage in widespread threats to pack the courts and to do whatever is necessary. Let's play cut six of Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts.
Let's be very clear. If Trump and Republicans succeed in ramming this nomination through, the American people will expect us to use every tool we have to undo the damage and restore the court's integrity.
What she's really saying, restore the court's integrity, is we are going to expand it so that we get enough people in power so that we get to win. That's what she's really saying. The Democrats know they cannot win under the current rules. So here's their strategy. And I kind of, I mean, if I was in their shoes, I would do a similar strategy, because if I was a Democrat, I wouldn't love the country. I wouldn't love the Constitution. I wouldn't love the rule of law. All I would love is power. So if I was a Democrat and I was pathologically obsessed with attaining power through a godless secular worldview, then I actually completely agree with what they're trying to do. What they are trying to do is we're going to put up a show vote and a fake fight, use all of the anger and the disgust from our base to raise a couple $100 million, redirect it to Senate races, hopefully win back the Senate and with it the White House, and then go pack the courts and make America in our image. That's the sequence of events that they believe is best for them to attain the most amount of power. And right now, many of Senate Republicans are being outspent 15 or 20 to 1. We have never seen this amount of cash and outside group spending to try and give the Democrats power. It's overwhelming. And Chuck Schumer and his Democrat allies remain committed to doing whatever it takes to give themselves the most amount of power. Look, this holiday season, more people will be mailing stuff than ever before. They're mailing things all over the place. That means the post office is going to be busy. It's going to be a circus. You don't have time for that. Stamps.com brings the post office and UPS shipping right to your computer. Mail and ship anything from the convenience of your home or office. With Stamps.com, anything you can do at the post office, you can do in just a few clicks. Plus, Stamps.com saves you money with deep discounts that you can't get at the post office. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Post Office and the UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for business. Whether you're a small office and sending out invoices or an online seller fulfilling orders, go to stamps.com. It's stamps.com. You get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and 40% off priority mail and 62% off UPS shipping rates. There's no risk with my promo code KIRK, K-I-R-K. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in KIRK. That's stamps.com. Enter KIRK. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. We are getting thousands of emails from our listeners at freedom@charliekirk.com. People are saying, Charlie, I don't get this Hunter Biden thing. I don't understand the backstory to it. There's so many characters. It's even more confusing than impeachment. So let's take a step back and walk through all of the facts surrounding Joe Biden's criminal syndicate that exists, which is the Biden crime family. This has been a drip of both information and disinformation. So both are out there. And I think the history is very important. So let's go back to the days of impeachment last summer and fall, which led into the early parts of this year. President Trump was impeached by Democrats for, quote, withholding military aid to Ukraine until Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky opened an investigation into the Biden family for corruption. This was all conjecture by Democrats with no substantial proof at all whatsoever. It was all written by a bad screenplay writer, Adam Schiff. Nothing that they thought was there was actually there. This is after the Mueller investigation completely and totally backfired, and they were left with nothing. The whistleblower, Schmerich Schmarella, came up with the transcript and said this is worthy of investigation. Vindman, all these guys came up and testified. Let's play cut 24. Remember when we had to read a fake call transcript because the Trump call transcript was actually not a big deal? Play cut 24.
So you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. On this and on that, I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him. Trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked.
Trump never said any of that. It's as real as Pulp Fiction, okay? It might as well be a Quentin Tarantino film. The real transcript was, quote, the other thing. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution. A lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. President Trump is referring to the widely shared clip of Joe Biden threatening to fire a prosecutor because they were looking into his son's business dealings. Play cut 25.
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
And throughout the entire impeachment investigation process, Americans found that Hunter Biden was working for the Ukrainian energy company Burisma for $83,000 a month. Now, Americans know that he had no experience in that sector at all whatsoever. So that was where we stopped the story. But Senator Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley last month released a Senate report investigating the money flows from foreign governments to Hunter Biden. So here's where Hunter Biden makes his money, and with it, Joe Biden. A $3.5 million wire from the mayor of Moscow's wife, a $100,000 spending account with a Chinese businessman, $1.4 million from his time on the board of Burisma, and $4.7 million in consulting fees from a Chinese Communist Party-linked company, and a $5 million forgivable unsecured loan not reported to the IRS from the Chinese Communist Party. And this was largely ignored from the activist media. But then Hunter Biden gave us a gift. He gave us his laptop. He said, please, take it. I don't want my dad to be president. Please. And Rudy Giuliani and Mr. Costello got the laptop. Literally, Hunter's laptop was left at a computer repairman's shop in Delaware. No conspiracy. This is a fact. Hunter Biden hands the laptop, signs it over. Hunter Biden signs it over and then forgets about it. In the laptop are things that will make a lot of you very uncomfortable. Not going to get into that stuff. But you guys can pursue it in your own time. Let's just say anything they've ever accused Donald Trump or his kids of ever doing pales in comparison to the moral carnival that Hunter Biden was running for the last couple years. We'll leave it at that. The real stuff, though, outside of Hunter Biden indulging in the seven deadly sins, was selling out our country with his father's help. That's the real story. And so in this laptop, we found actual verifiable evidence of Rudy Giuliani discovering that Hunter Biden was referencing his father in the midst of all of these business deals. One email from April 2015, an advisor to Burisma, Vadim Pushoretsky, thanked Hunter Biden for having him meet his father. The same Burisma from impeachment, by the way. It now appears that Joe Biden was not just a little bit involved in his son's business. He was the chairman or the big man. We'll get to that in a second. The New York Post then cited an email from Hunter Biden in August of 2017 indicating he was receiving a $10 million annual fee from a Chinese billionaire for introductions alone. That's breaking news right now. For introductions, $10 million a year. That's illegal, everybody. That is against foreign registration. That is against lobbying. There are so many laws around this that we could lock him up and his father up right now. In another email, which Fox News has confirmed, it refers to a deal pursued by Hunter Biden involving China's largest private equity firm. It includes a cryptic mention of 10% held for H and for the big guy. So who is the big guy? Well, let's go to last week. Everything then changed again. So you have impeachment, Burisma, Hunter sitting on the boards, Joe Biden loosely connected to this, Joe Biden becoming worth tens of millions of dollars, Joe Biden having houses all over the planet, the Biden net worth exploding. We find out about the $3.5 million wire from Russia, the $5 million unsecured loan from China, the $100,000 spending account from China, the $83,000 a month from Burisma. It sure seems like they have a intercontinental money flow coming that would make even Goldman Sachs jealous. But it got worse because all of that was bad. And then someone who actually has done business with them decided to speak out. And still the activist media has refused to mention anything around this. Enter into the scene, in a sudden turn of events, Tony Bobulinski comes onto the scene. Registered Democrat, veteran, American hero, and former business partner of the Hunter Biden, Hunter James and Joe Biden. Tony Bobulinski told Fox News that contrary to Joe Biden's statements, he had nothing to do with his son's business affairs. He said Joe Biden was intimately involved and signed off on all the deals. Bobulinski said, I don't have a political axe to grind. He said, quote, I just saw behind the Biden curtain and I grew concerned with what I saw. The Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were communist-controlled China. This is directly harmonic with the Senate report that shows this is what they were doing. And this is what got Bob Ulinski to come forward and speak out. He was stiffed out of $5 million, apparently. But it's deeper than that. There will now be phone calls that come out that show the Biden family and their lawyers telling Bob Ulinski that if he goes public, they're all going to go under and threatening Bob Ulinski. They wanted to scapegoat him. They wanted to bring him out and say, oh, it was all him, not us. Bob Ulinski beat them to it. He has the devices. He has the testimony. He's trying to save his life, his family, his reputation. Could you imagine if a business partner of Donald Trump's came out and said Donald Trump, while he's been president the last 4 days, has been sending Don Jr. around the planet to secure business deals? Do you think that guy would be on the front page of the New York Times? Do you think that guy would get an interview with Fredo on CNN? Do you think that guy would be on the Rachel Maddow show? They'd be everywhere. Tony Bob Ulinski would have shirts. There'd be billboards. People would be marching in the streets. It says, believe Tony. Believe all Tonys. And a new Daily Caller article just released today further details this. Hunter Biden and his partner sought a $10 million seed investment from CEFC China Energy. The Biden's consortium 42-page investment outlined from May 15, 2017 featured Joe Biden shaking hands with the Colombia's president. They were selling Joe Biden in a pitch deck. They had a pitch deck to people saying, we have Joe Biden's stamp of approval. They went to Kinko's and they had Joe Biden in the deck. A section of the sales proposal entitled, quote, Colombia, Gateway to Latin America, featuring a photo of then Vice President Joe Biden shaking hands with Santos. A section of the sales proposal entitled Colombia, Gateway to Latin America, also went further to say that it's the place for development. Why is this all important? It is the continual revelation that they didn't just mention it. He wasn't just involved. He was the front guy. He was, if you're trying to sell a product, for example, if I'm trying to sell pillows, okay, I'm going to have Mike Lindell's face right here. Joe Biden is the Mike Lindell of the Biden Intercontinental Crime Enterprise. He's like, hey, everybody, I got a great deal. You want to sell out our country? We can do it for $5 million or less. That's Joe Biden. But there's more. We can believe Joe Biden, his campaign, when they say, he says, well, I didn't know anything about it. Complete and total lie. So Tony Bob Ulinski speaking out. We know that Joe Biden was put onto these proposals. He signed off on it. Hunter Biden got special access to the State Department to try to pander to Burisma forces. And here's the real sinister part of it. Your foreign policy, you as an American taxpayer, your sons might have went and fought a war that Biden made money off of. Your neighbor, your family member might have died in a war that Joe Biden might have cut a deal on. We might have spent hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayer dollars where the Biden family was getting a little on the side. The Biden's cottage family business is using your tax dollars and your sons and daughters in the United States military for their personal benefit. That man should never become president of the United States. How many endless wars has our country gotten into because of Biden and his family making money? How many misadventures overseas were because of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden making a side deal with a foreign government? We may never know the answer to that question, but one of the main reasons why both parties disagree on everything except expanding the welfare state and expanding the alleged American empire overseas is that it makes very good business. That the think tanks in Washington, D.C., the mega corporations, they seem to all benefit in one way or the other with a everlasting, nonstop American foreign policy force overseas. And the biggest takeaway of Joe Biden's selling out of America is not that just he got rich off doing it and that it's corrupt and it's wrong, but that it actually probably put American national security at risk. Is that your safety, your security if Joe Biden were to win, will be put in jeopardy. The greatest threat that America faces is the Chinese Communist Party. Do you want someone who is a subcontractor of the Chinese Communist Party to take over our government? Someone who has received a $5 million unsecured loan? Someone that has a $100,000 spending account from the Chinese Communist Party? Someone that was being probed to be paid $10 million a year for introductions? And by the way, they nailed Paul Manafort with a very aggressive prison sentence for doing a fraction or a micron of what Hunter and Joe Biden have done. Paul Manafort was not the son of a vice president or a vice president. And now we have Tony Bobulinski, where Tony Bobulinski's only motive would be to save himself from the Biden family trying to seek revenge against him. Joe Biden has presented himself as a middle-class warrior for decades. Joe Biden has been on the wrong side of every single foreign policy decision of the last 30 years. Our nation-building experiments in Iraq and Afghanistan, the dictator displacement strategy in Libya. And a question should be asked, what other business deals are we missing from the Biden family of the last 30 years? What other international experiments were the Bidens involved in? And I don't say this without thorough research. What has come to light in the last couple weeks actually goes to show that the Biden family was far more corrupt than the Clinton family. And that says something. The Clinton family would gallivant around the world and ask for contributions from major totalitarian countries. They probably executed the Uranium One deal because of that. However, what the Biden family has done is even worse. Mostly and mainly because the Biden family was steering American foreign policy for their own personal monetary gain and for their family's enrichment. So the question is, will this actually matter politically? The answer is probably no, but that doesn't mean we should stop talking about it. Any and all effort that we can do to expose who Joe Biden is, where his motivations lie, and if Joe Biden were to win everybody, Xi Jinping will become president of the United States. That's what will happen. Joe Biden will have no power, no influence. They probably have blackmail against him and his son. They have purchased him throughout the last couple decades. He will be a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese Communist Party, and the next century will be dominated by China. That's how important this election is. The Founding Fathers put a clause into the U.S. Constitution specifically about people in office not benefiting financially from foreign governments while they're in office. Joe Biden violated that clause completely and flagrantly. And it's a national security threat and risk. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. You guys got to get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, tpusa.com, or email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com, and consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.